The thing that I was, so I was thinking about what to share with you guys today, or at least to start a discussion, because this may, I may not be able to say a whole lot, but at least to get going, there's been a verse that I've thought about quite a bit in the last several weeks. I think I actually talked about it to some extent within the last couple months, 2 or 3 months on a Sunday morning. Don't remember exactly when that was, but the verse is in John chapter 8, verse 31. And I have some loose thoughts in my mind. I wrote down the verse here. I'm going to read it. See if I can maybe string together some thoughts about it. The verse is where Jesus is talking to the Jews. The whole chapter 8 is Jesus talking to the Jews. And in 31 it says, "Then Jesus said to the Jew to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" And there's a number of things about that that are seeming really real to me. I think maybe the last time I spoke about this verse, I was just talking about how it's so common in the church world today to think that we want to jump all the way to the freedom part by just believing in him. And Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you're actually disciples," which implies that he could say and did say to the disciple to those who believed in him, "If you don't learn to abide in my word, then call yourself what you want, but you're not disciples." Now, just so that I am not misunderstood, I believe that true faith leads us to and teaches us to abide in him. But I don't think that all of those who believe in him come to really experience what it means to abide in him, or even ask themselves what that means, or grow into a place or a relationship with the Lord where that becomes an extremely important thing. If I had to be just to be really honest with you, I feel like the more time goes by and the more the Lord deals with my heart about the nature and experience of true Christianity, everything has to do with this. It has to do with abiding in Christ. Not abiding in a belief, not abiding in in teachings from Christ or about Christ, not abiding in a church, not abiding in a group, not abiding in practices or doctrines or anything else, but actually learning what it means to abide in the life of Christ and how to stay there and how to live all the time in a place where you're being careful to stay within the boundaries of the experience of his life, the circle that he draws in your heart, where on one side of and inside of the circle is life, and outside of the circle is death. On the inside of the circle is grace. On the outside of the circle is nature. And what I mean by nature is not pretty trees and flowers. I mean what you are in your natural state in the fall. What you are naturally, apart from grace, apart from the life of God in your soul. And the only way, and this is, I just again, I'm going to be try to here string together a few thoughts. Some of them have to do with what Julie shared this morning. Actually, I was thinking about that before she said it. I even had some of the same language in my mind before she brought it up this morning, so I was a little bit surprised that she was talking about the world and the trajectory of the world, because I woke up this morning thinking about the trajectory of the world. And well, anyway, I think that the true, to go back to what I was saying, the true Christians are learning to live in a totally different way. everything, if you add together and sum together everything that I feel like the Lord has been teaching my heart over the last decade or more, I feel like you could kind of summarize it in just that phrase, if you abide in my word. Or you could say it in Jesus' words in John 15, if you abide in the vine. Or you could say it in Paul's words in Galatians 5, if you walk in the Spirit. Or you could use John's words in 1 John chapter 1, if you walk in the light. To me, all of those expressions are speaking of the same thing. They're all speaking of a very conscious, active, and continual learning to stay inside of something, and a conscious, continual, active learning to stay outside of something else. Abiding in Christ is a real thing. It's not a book title or a verse or an assumption that we make that about our lives just because we believe right things or true things. Abiding in Christ, he said to the ones who believed in him, if you abide in my word. And in the church today, it's so common to have the idea be that I believe in him and therefore I'm free. But Jesus says, if you believe in him, then you have to abide in him. And if you abide in him, then you're really disciples. And only then will you shall, future tense, begin to know the truth. You see, you say, well, I know the truth because I believe in him. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you believe in him, and then you abide, and then you're a disciple, and then you know the truth, and then the truth makes you free. So it's a mistake to just to think that our beliefs make us free. Our beliefs don't make us free. Our beliefs have the potential to show us what to abide in, and to turn our hearts to an actual living, constant, conscious, active abiding in Christ that causes us to be real disciples. And when I say real disciples, I mean people that are actually following the light and life and teaching of Christ in the heart, instead of following what most people follow, even with right beliefs, and that is their own wills all the time. And so just kind of, again, throwing out some initial thoughts, Jesus is saying to those who abide or that believed in him, you need to learn to abide. You felt something showing you truth in your heart. It's caused a spark of faith. It's caused you to recognize that my words don't come from myself, but they come from the Father. Now that's good. Believing in me is good. Believing in me is necessary. If you don't believe in me, you'll never learn to abide in my word. But now that you do believe in me, here's what's next. You have to learn to abide in my word if you're ever going to be a disciple. And again, a disciple, what's a disciple? A disciple is someone that's following. It's a follower. Anyone who wants to be my disciple, Jesus said, you have to be doing these two things. You have to be denying and putting a cross on one thing. And you have to be following the voice of another thing. You can't skip the first part and think you're doing the second part. You can't follow me unless you're denying the other thing that your heart wants to follow. Those two have to go together. And so again, I repeat, Jesus said to those who believed in him, it's good that you believe in me. But here's what you haven't learned yet. You haven't learned to abide in me. And just as long as you don't abide in my living implanted word, your beliefs aren't actually going to help you. This is where I kind of get into the trajectory of the world, because the world in the beginning wasn't this way. The world was an expression of God's purpose and life and glory. And man could live in the world and have his eyes on the world and still have his eyes on God. And what I mean by that is I don't mean turned from God on the world, but I mean that the world and God were not contrary things. They weren't, God didn't put us in a world that was a bad place for our hearts to dwell. Man turned from God. Man chose to turn away from God, and sin entered into the world, and this world entered into a condition that was never the intention of God. And sin, which is the presence in the world, the sin is the presence and creation of something that is not of God, is not from God. And that entered into the world and it began to corrupt. It's like Jesus compares it, or the Bible compares it to leaven. It began to enter in and to fill and to spread, and it filled the world with a different nature, with a different purpose. And we could talk a lot about this. Sin entered into the world like a corrupting disease, and it began to spread. And it corrupted the workings of the world so that it began to bring man in a direction that was contrary to what God first intended. It started to lead man. If man would follow the world or follow sin in the world, then he would go against the life and direction of God. The world then began to have a very different trajectory. It had a very different course. It started to go, and instead of going with God or being an expression of God or manifesting God's glory and God's truth and God's purpose, it began to have a very different course. It goes a different direction. It's aiming in a different way. It's walking a different direction from God. And man now has fallen into that world and has become worldly and has his heart set on the world. And when man follows the world, he's walking in a trajectory. He's walking in a course that leads to destruction. Because now the path of the world is a path of destruction. Nature destroys itself. Again, when I say nature, I don't want you to think of pretty sunsets. I want you to think of that which God made without God in it. And that's what we mean when we say the natural man. We fell into a natural condition, and we are without God in the world. We're sons of wrath by nature. We're, the natural man goes a different direction. That which doesn't walk with God is always decaying. It's always slowly corrupting. It's always tending towards chaos. It's always fighting against itself. It's always running towards all kinds of anguish and all kinds of strife. This is what the world is. This is what you and I are apart from God. You've all felt it in your hearts. The natural man hurts himself by his own decisions. When he doesn't follow the course of God, when he follows what comes natural to him, when nature is reigning in man and not grace, then man always does the same thing. He always hurts himself. He follows his pleasures, and his pleasures end up hurting him. He believes his anger, and he follows the voice of his anger, and his anger gets stronger. And it works against him, and it causes all kinds of inward strife and anguish and pain. And it gets worse. It gets worse over time. It has a course. That's what I'm trying to say. The world has a course, and the course is away from God, and it's towards destruction. And when our hearts are living according to what comes naturally to us, and not living according to what grace is teaching us, because grace teaches us to go in a totally different direction. But if we live in what is natural, then we live in this continual spiral of disorder. And I say that as someone who's now lived just about half a century And I've watched nature destroying itself in hundreds of people that I've known who are following it. I've watched people give their hearts to everything that comes naturally to them in a fallen world. And I've seen how the spirals, it's like tying a bigger and bigger and tighter knot out of elastic. It gets worse. It does not get better. I think it was Julie this morning was talking about, you look at the world today and you can't help but just like notice that things are not getting better. Nothing naturally, nothing without grace gets better. You hear what I'm saying? Nothing without God's working by his power in it improves over time. We look at that in the natural creation. Scientists look at that in the natural creation. They say they can notice it. They can observe it. They pull out their microscopes and their telescopes, their notebooks and their pencils, and they write down all these things, and they say, we got to name this. This is crazy. Let's call it the second law of thermodynamics. Everything tends towards chaos. Everything tends towards decay. Everything tends towards disorder. That's crazy. Everything does it. You know, you leave things in their natural state and they become corrupt. They become less beautiful, less organized, less together, less united. We'll call it a law. But there's a reason that that law is there. It's because creation broke away from grace. It stopped its union with the life and purpose and truth of God, and it went a different direction. God was heading west and nature took a right turn and headed east. And the two things now are totally different. And what we feel in ourselves is a war between nature and grace. That's what we feel. We feel the things that are natural to us in a fallen state. And we want to there's something in us that wants to follow what's natural. And we want to fight for it too. We want to fight for what we feel to be our natural tendencies and our natural biases and our natural desires and our natural lusts and our natural preferences. And everyone, especially in our world today, more than any other time. I mean, there maybe was some other time in forgotten human history, but I don't know about it. But we live in a time where everybody is fighting for the right to follow nature. And nature never gets better. It tends towards disorder. And in the human heart, that means pain. That means disappointment. That means frustration. That means giant knots of painful emotions. That means inward strife for who knows why. That means inward anguish. That means fighting desires against each other in my own heart. And none of them make sense. And when you follow them and when you feed them, they only get worse. Now, everybody has felt this. Everyone has. You follow your appetites for food and drink. What does it do? It kills you. It makes you unhappy, unhealthy, unable to function, and eventually it kills you. You follow your desires for lust. What does it do? It makes you a total slave and a total pervert. You follow your desires for anger. I have a right to be angry about this thing. Follow that. See where that leads you. Where does it lead you? It leads you to a heart full of bitterness and resentment and grudges and mulling over and playing over scenes in your head of telling people off. It leads you into this aching, constant striving of bitterness in your heart that you don't control it. It controls you. Follow fear. Believe fear. I know a lot about this one. Believe it. Follow it, and it'll kill you. Believe the fear instead of the grace. Act on it. Live according to it. Order your life to try to protect yourself from feeling it again. And I'm telling you, it'll get worse. Well, I know some of you have felt that in here too. Believe fear in its normal, natural course of nature, and it gets bigger. It tends towards greater disorder, chaos, pain. See, that's what I mean when I say nature commits suicide slowly. It's broken off from, it's separated itself from God. It can't function rightly. It has some remaining shadows of goodness in it. But even the pretty flowers wither, fall, rot, and stink. Now, you can't stop that with nature. And if you decide to follow nature, what comes naturally to man in this fallen condition, then you are on a trajectory. I'm going to keep using that word. I got to get used to it, because to me, it's such a strong, perfect word. You can't beat your trajectory. You can't do it. You have to change. What I mean by you can't beat it, I mean, is if you hold that course, if you hold that natural course, you're going to land where that trajectory ends. There's nothing you can do about it if you stay at that course. You can complain, but you can't, you won't experience anything else. If you're heading east, you can complain every single day about how it's not west, and you're going to end up at the end of your life really far east. You're not going to change it. You can't beat your trajectory with beliefs. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell you about abiding in the word. I'm going to work my way back around to it here in a minute, but beliefs are a good place to start, but they're not stronger than your trajectory. If your trajectory, if your course is the course of nature, I mean what comes natural to you in your fallen condition, you can believe whatever you want. But if you keep walking northeast, you're going to end up northeast, period. That sounds like the most obvious thing to say, but I'm telling you, I see people. I'm old enough now to see people walk northeast for a week, and then a month, and then a year, and then a decade, and then a few decades, and then say to themselves, how in the world did I get here? Why am I here? Why does it feel like this? Why doesn't it feel like that? Why do I read the Bible and everything I read is contrary to my experience? Why do I even have such a hard time believing any of it? I see people get to the end of their lives and lament in the last moments that things should be better, things should be different. I wish things were different. How did I get here? I wasn't expecting this to be the way it would be. That's what I mean when I say you can't beat your trajectory. I mean, you can't beat it by just wishing it wasn't going the way it was going. You have to turn. You have to turn and follow a different leader. If you believe in him, you have to learn to abide in his word. Because if you just believe in him and keep going this direction, you're going to end up here with beliefs in him, but you're not going to end up over here. And that's a fact. And this is why Paul says, I believe, in Galatians, don't fool yourself. Careful. What you sow, you're going to reap. God isn't mocked. He's not mocked by your beliefs as you walk away from him in your trajectory. If you're following the course of nature, if you're believing the desires of nature, now look around you. Look at the world. Look at people. Look at what people do. Look at what people feed on. Look at what people think about. Look at what everyone, not everyone, but most people around us are doing. They are fighting for what comes natural to them. They want it, and they're like little children fighting for it. And they're mad when they don't get it, and they're scared when someone takes it from them, and they're grumpy when someone has something that they don't have, and they're just following the natural course of this world. And the most foolish thing that we can think is that we can follow that course of nature and not arrive where it is leading us. I think about that all the time. The trajectory of the natural man. It's going, you know, people say, I don't ever want to be like my parents. And then they're like 60 and they're like, I'm exactly like my mom. I'm exactly like my dad. Unless they're doing something against nature. Because nature is going to beat you unless your life is clinging to something that beats nature. And see, there's only two options. You either go with the current of nature into the things that are impossible for you to stop, or you make your life about abiding in something that is contrary to nature and making sure, and this is the part that's so important, making sure you learn what it means today to stay inside the boundaries of that living word. I'm not talking about the Bible. I believe every word of the Bible. I read the Bible every day. I'm talking about a living word that speaks in your heart and says, that's nature and that's grace. And you better hold on tightly to grace. You better hold on to the teachings of grace that teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this age. You better be careful because if you believe what comes naturally to you and you fight for that, you stand up for your dreams and you fight for everything that's easy and comfortable and appealing to your natural fallen man, then you're going to end up in the pit. And there's something that comes into that world and it speaks to you, and you can start to believe its words, but not learn to follow it. And because of that, you don't change your direction. You don't change your course. You keep the same course of nature, but you change your beliefs. You see, you can change your beliefs and not change your course. You can change your religion and not change your course. You can study religion for the rest of your life and not change your course. You can love religious truths and still listen every minute of every day to the voice of nature, to what is natural to you, to the natural man. And that will lead you. You can see it. Think, those of you who are old enough, I know some of you are young, and it's like, hey, what are you even talking about? I'll just put it on the shelf for about 30 years and then think about what I'm saying. But those of you who are old enough, haven't you watched people in your life choose the path of what's naturally pleasing to them and walk themselves right into darkness? Haven't you seen people do that even with Christian beliefs? He said to those who believed in him, you gotta learn to abide in my word. Because only then you're actually following me the other direction. And only that way will you ever know an experiential reality of truth. So you think that believing in me is knowing the truth. And I'm telling you that believing in me is the beginning of abiding in my word so that you can know the truth. Because the truth is a living experience of what's real to God. What's real in God, what God's reality is. You can believe that that exists, but never learn to walk into it because you're walking a different direction. And there's a way that God has given us, and that way is called grace. And what grace is, what Christianity is God fighting in you against nature. Now think about it that way. I know that's maybe sounds weird. It's not a bumper sticker. No one really says that in that language. But really what it is God coming into what is everything that is natural to you and saying, hold on to me tightly because I'm going to pull you the exact opposite direction. And you got to hold on every day. And you've got to learn what it means to abide in that thing. You've got to learn to lay hold of that for which you have been laid hold of by God, which is what Paul said. You got to learn to lay hold of it. Because if you don't, then you'll shipwreck in your faith. And you can go wherever you want to go, believing true things. But you will find yourself in the end in the same place where nature leads all. And so God says, here's Christianity. It is a door that my son opened through the death, burial, and resurrection of his coming outwardly. And it's a gift of his life inwardly that is called grace. And he comes in you not to just teach you about what he did outwardly. He comes into you not to just tell you stories about the Bible times or to teach you doctrines about what St. Paul taught. He comes into you as a living power that goes in the contrary direction of nature. And that is why the whole Bible is a call to humanity to change course. That's what repentance is. It's a call to stop going that way and to hold tightly to what will lead you that way. That's why John the Baptist came preaching repentance, change course. That's why the prophets continually were sent to Israel, change course. That's the reason that the spirit of Elijah came to Israel, change course. That's why the spirit of Elijah comes to our hearts and says, change course. That's throughout the whole Bible. Repentance isn't saying you're sorry. Repentance is changing course. It's changing your trajectory because beliefs alone will not beat your trajectory. It will not change where you end up. Think about the book of Proverbs. Think about the first eight or nine chapters of Proverbs. What is the first eight or nine chapters of Proverbs? It's a call to change course. Stop! Wait, you're following the immoral woman into the house. Those who go that way never come back. They go into the chambers of darkness. Listen, turn at my rebuke. Listen to the voice of wisdom. Wisdom cries from the mountaintops. And what does it say? It says, change course, turn around. You've got to, you can't just change beliefs. You can't just change religions. You can't just change doctrines. You got to change course. Your heart has to change what it's following. Now, see, here's the question. What are you following? Are you following nature or are you following grace? Because grace interrupts the trajectory of nature and nothing else does. Grace comes in and it says, just like Paul says, the grace of God has appeared to all men. Everyone hears it sometimes. And it shouts in the streets of our heart. Tells us to stop following one leader. It tells us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It cries out in our streets, just like Jesus did, repent, for the kingdom of God is really close to you. And the way to actually follow grace isn't to have a good definition of it, isn't to be able to point out the verses that talk about it, isn't to have your church called Grace Fellowship. That doesn't mean you know grace. That doesn't mean that you're following grace. The way to actually go against nature is to listen and follow and obey the grace of God. And here is, again, as I started saying, here's the key. Here's Christianity laid before you in its most practical form. Here's what you need to learn. You can put the mysteries of the Trinity aside for a second. You can put all of the questions about election and reprobation aside for a second. You can put all the different, whatever, debates, put them all aside for a second and focus on this one thing. If you haven't found this one thing yet, here's the one thing to focus on. Learn what it means, Jesus says to those who believe in him. Learn what it means to abide in my living word. Learn the boundaries of it. Learn what it's saying in your heart. Learn what it feels like when your heart begins to come up against the grace of God and the grace of God says, no, deny that. Turn from that. Refuse that. That is not grace. That is nature. You need to learn to abide in that word. Why does he say abide in my word? Because it is a living, speaking word. It's a word that's that is continually speaking in the heart. No one has to go up into heaven to bring it down. No one has to go down into the abyss and bring it up, because there is a word that is very near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It couldn't be nearer. And it speaks. And its voice is what you must learn to listen to. It's this word. It's this inward speaking of the grace of God that when it begins to speak in our hearts, it corrects, it checks, it reproves, it makes you uncomfortable when you are following the course, the current of this world. I think of the world that we live in, defending nature, justifying nature, excusing nature, fighting for their pride, having a parade for being proud of how they are naturally following their desires, forcing everyone to respect the preferences of their nature. That's the world we live in. You can do anything gross, but one thing you can't do is speak against what's natural for me. That'll get you in trouble today. Don't ever speak against the way that I am naturally. But what I'm telling you is that the grace of God will do exactly that. It will come into your heart and it will speak against the way you are naturally, because we are by nature children of wrath. And by nature, every intent of the thoughts of the heart of man are only evil all the time. And by nature, we are selfish. And by nature, we are proud. And by nature, we envy. And by nature, we lust. And we pursue our lusts. And we believe our lusts. And nature teaches us to follow them. And grace teaches you to deny them. And so the first thing, I just going back to this verse in John chapter 8, the first thing that Jesus says to those who abide in him, or that to those who believe in him, is that there is something in you that you need to learn to stay within. And see, this is the reason, and I want everyone to understand this so clearly. This is the reason why Jesus told us to deny self. This is the reason why self-denial is a part of Christianity. It's not just a proof of how disciplined we are. It's not just a command that we're supposed to obey. It's not a ritual. It's not anything like that. The reason that we're supposed to deny self is because self will kill you. Do you understand? Self is the most dangerous thing you can follow. The reason we're supposed to deny self, my friends, is because if you follow self, it will bring you into blackness. It will tie a giant knot in your heart of strife and disorder and anxiety and anger and bitterness and every other thing. Fighting against it on these fallen properties of the human heart that once were united and submitted to the grace of God in the beginning, but fell from him and broke apart and spread like a bunch of pieces of glass in a million directions when you drop a glass on a concrete floor. All of those things went their own way for their own reasons. They were once this one beautiful glass pitcher and they were filled with the grace of God. And they fell and they broke and they went their own way. And they're all against each other, going different directions, pulling, pushing, fighting. And they're all inside of us. And we try to follow them, and the one hits the other gets mad, and we get mad at ourselves, and we get mad at our neighbor. We don't know why. We're scared of this, and we're angry at that, and we're lusting after this, and the whole thing's just tying this huge pretzel inside of us. And what do you call it? You call it nature, the natural man. And the reason that Jesus tells us we have to deny self, and the reason that Paul lived a self-denying life, and the reason that everyone that's ever been a true disciple of Christ has learned and felt the necessity of not believing all of the natural desires that rise up in our hearts is because they have felt that that leader will kill you and darken you and hurt you and scare you and turn you into your own prison. I have felt some of that in my own heart, and I have felt a little bit of what it means to come out of it. And this is, for me, it's just one of the most practical things. It goes right back to Jesus saying, if anyone wants to make it out of this place, it's really simple. Deny self. Put a cross on self, on self-will, and I'll take you out. Stay close to Moses. He knows the way. Put your eyes on the fire above the tabernacle. Stay close. Don't get far behind. Put the ark 2,000 cubits ahead of you and fix your eyes on it and don't let it get out of your sight. Stay close. It'll show you the way. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of this faith. Look at him, not at things that are seen, but at things that are unseen. Follow. Be an inward follower of the grace of God. That's your way out. And this is what Jesus understood, or at least this is, I think, a little piece maybe of what Jesus understood when he said to those who believed in him, you're not free yet. It's good that you believe in me, but you're not free yet. And here's how you get free. Your belief isn't going to do it. But if your belief turns into an abiding in my light, a learning to watch and look and feel after the boundaries of my grace in your heart, and a submitting to the teachings of grace, to learn to walk in that light and not go outside of it, to learn to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh anymore. Because those who walk by the flesh, they will die. But those who by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, they will live. And so here's what you need to learn if you want to be free. You need to learn to walk in my Spirit, to walk in my light, to abide in my word, to abide in the vine. Be careful to stay close. Love my appearing. Love grace. Love corrections. Again, going back to the book of Proverbs, love the voice that calls out and to correct you. And that way, what are you doing? You're totally changing your trajectory. And just as it was impossible to expect a different result or expect a different ending than the direction you were heading and with this trajectory, if your heart is denying that and following Christ, then you can be sure that your end will be peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. If that's the leader that you're following. Just one more thing just popped in my head. I wish I had it in front of me, but there's this place where Daniel Wheeler talks about, I want to maybe find it, but he talks about how he couldn't help but have to admit that his life, he says it in some great way, but that his life was a demonstration of grace's victory over nature. And does anyone remember reading that? I just love that. Maybe when someone else is talking, but he said, like, I can't deny that in my life, grace has overcome nature. And he started for the first, I think he was in his late 20s when he turned to the Lord, and he was a really bad sailor. I mean, if you guys haven't read his journal, it's
he was
one
a
of my
good sailor. He was not a good person.
Yeah, he was a really good a really good sailor and a really bad person for 27 years of his life. And he was, I mean, really bad, and turned to the Lord and became an amazing, godly man. But he, near the end of his life, I remember this is one comment he made, was like grace has triumphed over nature. And I, yeah, just like, And I just remember that struck me when I heard it, you know, just, and what, and he was, if you've read his journal, he was, I mean, yeah, grace triumphed over nature. What an example of the power of grace triumphing over everything that he had fed for 27 or 28 years before that. I mean, it was, man, it's an awesome testimony. Here's the thing that Daniel Wheeler said. We had a very solemn meeting for worship the next morning, in the course of which the great cause was ably advocated by several present, and I had to throw in my poor mite among them, and in a particular manner to call their attention to myself as one exhibiting, and that without boasting, the triumph of divine grace over human nature in its most depraved state. I just love that. The triumph of divine grace over human nature in its most depraved state.